Friends, Christ, in the gospel, Christ set his glory on you. You realize this. He made you his greatest joy. He gave up his life that we might live, not for ourselves, but for him who loved us and gave himself up for us and was raised to give us life.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we want to thank you for joining us today as we continue in our study of the book of Philippians. The Christian life, becoming a Christian, Pastor Philip, it's all about sharing and service, sharing our testimony, sharing our story, and serving others. And this takes us right there, doesn't it?
It does. And Jesus' pattern for us, the way he's loved us, becomes the way we're to love other people. He served us, and now we are to turn and serve others, right? He washed our feet. He loved us at the bottom of our misery and our crankiness and all of our sin, and he's redeeming us. And that kind of loving others into loveliness is what Christ is calling us to. And here's what's amazing. When we love others and serve others, we actually find the deepest purpose and meaning possible. We don't have a meaningful life when we are trying to serve ourselves and our own interests. We find meaning when we serve others. When we give ourselves away in love, we actually get ourselves back. And that's the upside down kingdom. And that's the upside down work of Christ. The gospel is turning us into people who give themselves away in love and become like Christ in the process. And so that's where Paul's going today.
Well, without any further delay, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore how service and sacrifice lead to a worthy life. This is part two of the sermon, The Basics of Life. The text today is Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 30.
Christ becomes our reason for rejoicing, our purpose in living, and our meaning in suffering. Let's go. It's all right here. First, our reason for rejoicing. 1:18. Yes, I will rejoice, Paul says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Notice his rejoicing here is a choice. You see that? I will rejoice. In the midst of all of his troubles, he chooses to rejoice. It's not natural. He must choose it. Because God is still at work, amen? No matter how dark it gets, through your prayers, he says, and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. The word here for deliverance is the word, same word, for salvation. This will turn out for my salvation. He says, look, no matter what happens, in the end, this will work out for my salvation. Either I will be saved from these bonds and these chains, and I will stand in freedom in this life, or I will be saved from the bonds of this mortal life, and I will stand in the glorious freedom and life of the presence of Christ forever. Either way, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. I will live for his glory. Do you see this? It's what matters most to him. For me, to live is Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means he's alive because of Christ, doesn't it? And it also means that Christ has become his life. Paul writes elsewhere, 2 Corinthians 5:15, Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised to life. Or Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So to live is Christ. And he says, to die is gain. Why? Why would death be gain? Death is the final loss, isn't it? Oh, no. Because to die is to be face to face with Jesus. It's to get more of Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord and to stand with him in glory. And Paul says, that's a win. Dying in Christ is a win. It's glory. I rejoice, he says, because there's no downside here. Either way, whether I live or whether I die, Christ is honored in my body. He gets the glory. Verse 22, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Oh, I'm so torn. What a weird deliberation, isn't it? I don't even know what's better. If I lose my case with Caesar and he kills me, I get to go home to Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. But if I win my case, I get to go right back to this good gospel work that Christ has commissioned me to do, serving in the churches and caring for all of you, being your pastor. Ah, I'm so conflicted. Do you see what's happening here? Paul is not, listen, he's not deliberating over what's best for his comfort. He's not deliberating over what's best for his reputation. He's not deliberating over what's best for his career. He's not deliberating over what's best for himself. Do you see this? No, he's living for something far greater than himself. He's living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we delight in the glory of Christ, which has become our greatest joy in life and eternity. We delight in the glory of Christ, which has become our greatest joy in life and eternity. Friends, is the glory of Christ your greatest joy in life and death, in life and eternity? Friends, Christ, in the gospel, Christ set his glory on you. You realize this. He made you his greatest joy. He gave up his life that we might live, not for ourselves, but for him who loved us and gave himself up for us and was raised to give us life. Friends, to live is Christ. Oh, that we may live a life worthy of the gospel. Christ is our reason for rejoicing. Number two, he's our purpose in living. He's our purpose in living. Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Do you see what Paul's doing here? He says, look, it's way better for me if I die and go be with Jesus. But I know it's better for you if I stay and help. To remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So I guess I'll stay. That's probably what Christ will call me to do, because it's better for you. To what end? For your progress and joy in the faith. He says, okay, I'll stay for you because I love you. And I care about you, and because I'm here to serve you. And I will lay down my own interests for the interests of others, and I will sacrifice myself. I'll put your needs first so that you'll be able to give glory to Christ when I come to you. Paul began this letter, he said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Remember that? I'm a servant. And now he proves it. I'm here to serve. Paul is not here interested in he's not looking out to his own interests, he's looking out to the interests of Christ and others. Paul is showing us that to live a life worthy of the gospel means We invest in the mission of Christ, which has become to us our greatest endeavor in life and eternity. We invest in the mission of Christ, which has become to us our greatest endeavor in life and eternity. Friends, is the mission of Christ your greatest endeavor in life and eternity? Friends, in the gospel, Jesus Christ became servant of all, didn't he? Remember? He, their Lord and teacher, he washed their feet, he washed our souls. And then he said, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. See, friends, service is not just something, we just don't need volunteers. That's not the deal. Why do we serve in church? It's not to keep the wheels turning. It's to live for Christ, to take our life and all of our efforts and passion and pour them into the gospel work that he's called us to. That is what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. We give ourselves away just like Jesus gave himself away for us. And in doing so, we get our lives back. Anyone who wants to keep his life will lose it, Jesus says, and anyone who loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will get it back. To live is Christ, friends. Oh, that we may live a life worthy of the gospel.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're joining us today. As we're continuing in our discussion and digging a little deeper in the book of Philippians and what it really means to live a life worthy of the gospel. Pastor Philip, as always, good to be here with you. Loss, gain, give up, sacrifice. This is counterintuitive, isn't it, to our listeners and to many people? I mean, I don't want to give up anything. I don't want to give up my parking space. I don't want to give up. And you're talking about to lose is gain. Let's unpack this for them.
Yeah. Well, so much about the gospel is counterintuitive, right? And for example, like it feels like confession is going to be the end of us, but it turns out to be the very beginning of our forgiveness and healing. And in the same way, when Jesus calls us to serve and to give ourselves away in love, we feel like we're going to lose ourselves. Like that's the end of us. If I start serving others, like who's going to take care of me? You know? But what Jesus says is that when we actually lay down our lives, if we try to save our lives, we're going to lose them. But if we actually lay them down, we get them back. And what's amazing is that when we actually start serving other people in love, what we discover is we get an extraordinary amount of meaning and purpose, and we are starting to act like Christ toward others. And that's what we were made to do in the beginning. We weren't made to have a life caved in, worrying only about ourselves, living for ourselves, serving ourselves, only thinking of ourselves. We were made to be like Christ, to be image bearers of God. We were meant to be givers like God. God so loved the world that he gave. God is always pouring himself out, giving himself away in love. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's what Christ shows us. So when Jesus calls us to start serving and giving and relinquishing ourselves for the sake of others, he's actually inviting us into a higher way of life, the life of God, that we might have fullness and abundance of life. And so here's the irony. When we give ourselves away, we actually become the people we were always meant to be. We become people of love that are like Christ, full of the Spirit, imaging our Father, becoming like him, and stepping into the abundant life of God that's beyond the walls of the world. And so it's ironic, right? Give yourself away and you get yourself back. Serve and you'll find purpose. If you make others the center and priority of your life, you will have meaning. And so it's ironic, isn't it? It's upside down. It's the upside down kingdom. It's the counterintuitive nature of grace. But when we serve, we become people of love. And in becoming people of love, we look more like Christ and we step into the very life of heaven itself. And that is good for us. It's humanizing. And it pulls us into a much more beautiful life. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be about. That's why there's all these commands to serve and give and put others' interests above your own. All of that is intended to try to help us posture ourselves in ways that are going to be good for us, and we become ourselves.
Our listeners are with us, and I'm sure they're trying to understand how you are saying now that this we have joy in serving others. There's joy in service, but I believe the teaching point here becomes it's about motivation. Mm. Why are you serving? We can have two people, they're digging ditches. One of them's miserable. So I'm out here and I'm digging this ditch and it's hot and I want something. And the other is digging and he's, this is wonderful because these people are going to have water. We're going to have a well here. I think it starts, the joy has to be based on the motivation for the service.
Yeah, because you're doing it in love. You're doing it for others. You're doing it because—
Not attention.
Yeah. Christ has served you. And because you've been so served by Christ, because he's loved you in ways that you don't deserve, now you can go love undeserving people. You can love others and lavish yourself out. It's an overflow. It's an overflow of what you've received, and you do it in love. And so it's not just a menial task, you know? So much of service is stuff nobody wants to do. Nobody wants to stack the chairs or change the oil or change diapers or get up in the middle of night or make an extra meal. That's all costly stuff. And if you focus on the task that's at hand and you just go, wow, this is a pain, well, of course you're going to be miserable and cranky about it, right? That's not going to help you become more like Christ. But if you realize I'm doing this because I love, I'm doing this because it's what Christ has done for me.
I like that you said.
Yeah, I'm doing it as an overflow out of what I've received from Christ. Now I get to walk with him in service and love of others, and I get to be a conduit of his grace and mercy in the life of others. That transforms those very transactional, very sort of grubby, mundane tasks. It transforms them into real acts of service and love, and it shines Christ, and that's beautiful.
Joy becomes a choice, is what you're telling us. Joy as a choice. I don't know if I can buy that. I don't know about our listeners. Are we buying that? That this is what Paul says. This becomes a choice for us that we can have joy. We can appropriate joy. Tell us more about that.
I think joy is a great fountainhead for us, right? When we look at the scriptures, this idea of a begrudging, miserable, I'm just doing my duty because I have to and I don't like it, but I'm gutting it out. And just like that is so far from the vision of what Christ is calling us to. He's calling us to a joyous, sacrificial service that is overflowing. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants to give us the heart of love of Christ that gladly gives himself away, in service and love. That Jesus doesn't have to work at serving. It's what he does naturally. It flows out of his heart and life. And I think that's the kind of joy that God wants to give us in the midst of all of it. And so for me, I think, again, don't focus on the menial task, but look on the love that we're sharing for other people. And then I think the biggest thing is going back to, look, this is how Christ has loved me. Like he has served me. He came from heaven and earth to make me his treasure, to make me his joy. He loved me with an everlasting love. He loved me at great cost to himself. He died on the cross in my place for my sake. He washed my soul clean. He washed my feet.
Amen.
He's the servant of all. And when I've been loved like that, I can't make my life just about me. Like, I've received this kind of love. I've got to share it. I've got to extend it. The love of Christ is compelling me and controlling me and urging me on into a life of service for others. And I think when we serve like that, it shines the light of Christ to the world. Jesus says, let your good deeds, shine before men.
It's different.
You let your light shine. Yeah, it is different. People don't live like that. They don't serve like that. And so it shines the light of Christ. People go, what's up with that? That's unusual. And it also, for believers, it for other fellow believers, it means that we're actually expressing the love of Christ one to another. As you love with sacrificial love, I see Christ in you, and that encourages me, and I receive that, and then I extend it back, and there's this mutually reinforcing community of love that God's called us to in the church, and we are encouraging and strengthening each other as we move. And so I think that's the kind of heart that we're called to, and I think that's exactly what Christ intends for us in the body of Christ.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller, and we're talking about serving and how the gospel draws us into service from a heart that's been transformed by Christ himself. So for our listeners, Pastor Philip, I like lists. I like practical step one, step two, step three things. Like, give me my marching orders. So can we develop a list for our listeners today about how do I come alongside and serve?
I think the first step has to be to receive the servant-hearted love of Christ deeply, so that that becomes the well from which I'm now motivated to go out and do something. If I don't drink deeply from the well of Christ's service and love for me, then all the service I go do is going to be self-effort. I'm just going to be like gutting it out because in my own strength.
Look at me.
I might be doing it for, you know, false accolades or pride, or I might be doing it because I think I have to or whatever. I think we've got to receive the servant-hearted love of Christ until it stirs us up. And so that becomes the well from which, the strength from which we then go serve. And then I think we just look for a need. This is not hard. Serving is actually every day, every moment.
Everywhere.
I need to serve my wife. It might be just getting up and making the coffee for her, or pouring it in a mug and carrying it to her and saying, good morning. That's a little act of service. Or making the bed, you know, even though I only messed up half of it or whatever, right? Or just, it's the little things, right? It's the little things, making meals. It's cleaning up. Somebody else creates a mess. They left it behind. I got that. I can pick that up. It's the little things. So at home, we can serve. And then I think in the body of Christ, we all ought to be doing something. We ought to, right? We can't just sit in the pew and just sort of check the box and think, oh, I did my Christian thing. It's like, no, you're a part of the body. We're meant to serve. We're meant to be a part of the family of God. How am I contributing? And I ought to be able to at least say, here's one or two ways in which I'm adding value at church with my community.
Amen.
I'm serving. It's not just about me.
Thank you. That is so practical. You don't need to be on a committee or nominated to open a door or to pick up debris from in front of the church or help somebody across the street. If you just have a sensitivity, you'll see areas to serve. I think that's so practical.
Yeah. And start small. Start small and follow the Lord's lead.
That's right. It all begins with the first step. When we see people in need, we always have a choice. We can serve them in love, or we can view them as an interruption. But beloved, there is so much joy in serving like Christ. That's why we're offering Be Joyful by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Like we've been talking pretty candidly today, when we put ourselves first, conflicts, they're inevitable. But a life worthy of the gospel, it's rooted in service, not strife. Dr. Wiersbe calls this the submissive mind. It's an attitude where we put others second, ourselves last. This attitude is modeled by Christ, by Paul, by Timothy. The Christian with a submissive mind, he doesn't wait around expecting others to serve them. They start serving others. And by esteeming others better than ourselves, we unlock Christian joy regardless of the difficulties we encounter with people and circumstances. This study through Philippians, Be Joyful, it's transformed countless lives. And now, for a limited time, we're offering Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. To get your copy, simply contact us at livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001, or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.